Well, welcome back, and we're going to continue our discussion on the qualifications for ministry biz.
So we're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're at this qualification, being respectable.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Being respectable.
What does that mean?
Respectable means that you warrant someone's respect, and that they look at you and they see your sincerity. In the Greek word, I studied each of these Greek words, it says that they see the sincerity of your heart, and when you talk, they know that you're of sincere heart.
Okay.
So you're in this, and you're in this because you love people. You're in this because you, even in ministry, that you are someone wants to follow.
Right. So could it also be that in some ways you have the quality of Jesus, that they see Jesus in you?
Yes, that's exactly that sincerity of walk, that sincerity of words. When you make a joke, it's not a passive-aggressive.
Right.
You know, because you're going to meet people, and they're going to joke to you. And sometimes they're going to do a passive-aggressive joke at you.
Right.
And you can bite back so easily, but having that respectable demeanor.
And remember, you're trying to do a business and a ministry at the same time.
Right.
So, I guess respect kind of fits both. I mean, you're not going to do very well in the business side if you don't respect your customers.
Right.
And you certainly aren't going to have a chance to do ministry with them unless you respect them. And the hard part is, you know, like in business, they say the customer is always right.
Right.
Because sometimes it's really hard to respect a customer that is, you know, demanding and you know, unforgiving.
Right.
And wants more than they deserve, and all those things. But as a business owner, you're always like trying to, you know, you're always trying to help deal with people.
Right.
But it's also true in ministry that we need to respect where a person is at. They're not where we want them to be.
Right. Right.
And to respect where they're at. So if you disrespect them, then you're done with them, and you know they're not going to be coming back. And then where's your witness then?
Right.
So to have the patience,
right,
to let them be who they are, let the discussion go where it goes, and again that principle of little by little, maybe we can, you know, get them to a different place.
I remember in researching the sincerity thing too. Some of it was your non-verbal language, your body language.
Okay.
Like you can even
have
like a, you know, talking to someone, you have your arms closed,
right,
and in a sense you might be looking at them as if you're listening,
right,
but you're communicating that you're not respecting what they
are. I remember at a seminar or something, it was at a big place, and it was a big auditorium, and the speaker had an atheist on stage.
Right.
And he was like having a dialogue with that guy, and then it was opened up to the Christian crowd.
Right.
And the Christian crowd was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because the atheist guy was sort of poking.
Right.
And, you know, and people were responding in kind.
Yeah.
And poking back and, you know, hitting hard. Instead of, I mean, here's an atheist comes in the middle of this lion's den from his point of view.
And the lions all went after him.
Yeah, they went after him. Instead of, like, respecting his position.
Right.
And, you know, presenting Christianity in a winning manner.
Right.
And let the chips fall where they may.
Right.
So I think often, you know, just by listening and walking with someone, asking curious questions, you're showing respect to someone. And in the end, respect, I think, wins the day.
And God has the work to do in most of these cases.
Yeah, trust
me. I mean, in all cases. But I'm just saying that there's His work.
Yeah.
It's not, you're not going to be the big difference maker.
Right. It's trusting that God has this in hand. Okay. Hospitable. A leader is hospitable.
I have nothing more to say.
I mean, really.
In fact, in the text, it has the word given. Hospitality, and it's fascinating. It's almost like surrendered to hospitality. It's like hospitality oriented. The DNA of your life is hospitality. And I saw that in Rich and Helen DeVos.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, no question.
Yes.
Like, come on over. Yes. Let's eat. You know, but they gave that hospitable vibe wherever they went.
You're right. They, you know, one of the richest people in the world. And I know one of the habits that he had is whoever was coming over, he would spend time to know everybody's name.
Yes.
So he would sit down ahead of time and go, no, who's coming? This person, this person. So when you walked in the door, he greeted every single person by name. Now, did he have to do that?
Right.
No, but he wanted to honor every single person. I remember we went to the, you know, the Orlando Magic game. He owned the Orlando Magic.
Right.
And he would take time to talk to anybody and everybody.
Right.
I mean, people taking the tickets would come up to him and show pictures of their grandkids.
Yeah.
And we're all standing there waiting to go to our seat. And he is taking all the time in the world to give this person undivided attention.
Yeah.
And it was, and that is incredibly effective.
Yes, and if you have a life coach business and you just, you know, you share hospitality, I'm telling you, they're going to want to be part of that winning combination.
Yes.
Of course, coffee is like, you know,
right.
if you have an unhospitable environment, that's not going to work.
No.
And whether in if it's a matchmaking ministry. All of that is about hospitality.
Ministry itself.
It's hospitality.
I mean,
actually,
really.
A church planting?
Yes. If churches would just practice hospitality
alone. We've once planted a church, Dr. Fettis and I, and our only evangelism program was hospitality.
Right.
Having people in the house, the church just grew.
Yes. It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Able to teach.
Well, that's right. And able to articulate concepts, able to be respected in your ability to articulate the concept.
Right, right.
So that's why you're at COI.
Well, right. You're learning, you know, things to say. And, you know, what else is influence? If you're not, you know, teaching is really saying, I have something that might help you.
Right.
And to be able to do that, you're really saying, I am a leader.
Yes.
Follow me in this direction, which takes a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
I mean, to be able to come to someone and say, I know something that maybe would help you.
Right.
You're really saying, come and follow me. And why should anyone follow you?
Right.
Unless you have something.
Yeah.
So that's why we're so big on, you know, getting as much education as you can.
Right.
Because the more you learn, the more confident you will be. And the more tools and things that you will have to actually help people.
And being able to teach is not being the answer man on any of these subjects. It's being one who helps someone in through a journey in these subjects.
Yes.
That's a difference. So able to teach aptly.
Sometimes teaching is just asking the right questions.
Yeah. Right.
That people learn more when you ask them questions.
Right.
They stop and think for themselves. Often, if you can get them to articulate what you want to teach them,
right,
then you have some. That is effective teaching.
Yeah, that's very good.
All right. Not given to drunkenness.
I think there are a lot of applications to that. Not only alcohol, marijuana, prescription medication, but I also think it could be it's a little different than temperance. Temperance is moderation in sort of your whole life.
Yeah.
But this is a child of that in a lot of ways, that you on things that are particularly addictive, and there are a lot of them.
Right.
That you do not go, like you, it's sort of a little bit of a contrast here, given to hospitality, not given to drunkenness.
Okay.
So there's these types of play here, like no, that you're not even interested in something that would maybe bring dishonor even to your very business.
Why do you think that we're prone to addictions? I mean, what's the mechanism there?
Well, part of it is kind of idolatry a little bit. I mean sort of pseudo-comfort, pseudo-God.
Okay, so we want to give ourselves to something.
Right.
Because in a way, addiction is worship, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So worship is not bad.
Right.
But whom you worship makes the difference. So why do people pick things that hurt them to worship, right?
I mean, a lot of people think they need it. They need, like, okay, you're really tired. You feel like a victim. Right. You just want to kind of deaden off.
So it's, I guess what you said, it's like a pseudo God, right? It promises
something.
Deliverance. It promises salvation.
Yeah.
Right? Because you drink and all of a sudden your troubles go away.
Yeah.
That sounds like, it feels like salvation.
Right.
But over time, it's salvation with a bite. Yeah. Right?
Right?
And maybe that's the, you know, the lie of Satan. Right? Did God say that if you can't eat any of the fruit of the garden?
I mean, Paul once said, Tim, you know, take a little wine, good for your stomach. But so it's okay that the Bible says you can have a little wine. But then next thing, you know, wow, you know, wine just makes me feel so good. You know,
A little bit more wine makes me feel better.
Yeah.
And how about a little bit more wine?
Right.
And soon it's become a God.
I do think a boundary is here too. You know, back to moderation and this one, put them together. You know, if you own a business and you get a DUI, it hurts you.
Right.
You know, if you get arrested, it's so embarrassing, but it does hurt your business. And I have been a pastor to leaders where they made mistakes in some of these areas, and it hurt their ability to do business and ministry biz. It would hurt your ability.
Right. Okay. Not violent, but gentle.
You know, the Greek word for that is not a striker.
Okay.
That's the...
Anger.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're an angry person, that is going to come out in your ministry and in your relationships. I remember I had a friend of mine who bought a food truck.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And he's going to go to fairs, and I helped him a few times. Went to the fair, and what happens is that at the meal times, it's like mass chaos.
Right.
All of a sudden, everyone's there.
Right.
For a while, there's no one there.
Right.
And he wasn't that organized, and his whole family was working, and he would get so angry at everybody because they're not doing it fast enough or whatever. And there's all these customers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're
yeah.
sitting right out there. And there's a shouting match going on inside the food truck. It's like, okay, you know. So in the end, anger doesn't work with your staff. It doesn't work with your customers. It doesn't work with your family.
With you.
It, you know, anger is often a symptom of another problem that should be taken care of. Often it's a problem of unfairness and things aren't right and you can't deal with it, and then you basically are taking out on other people.
We have an anger management class now.
Yes.
Amazing class to take, and just prayerfully, if that is a struggle for you, this is a great opportunity to rid that out of your life.
Right. Because it will destroy everything in your life. Okay. Not quarrelsome. Yeah.
It's related to anger in some way, but there are people that just quarrel. And you're in ministry biz, quarreling distracts you from your dream and your purpose.
Yeah. You're always picking a fight. I think for some, it's sort of a mechanism to self-esteem.
Yes.
If you were raised in a family where there was a lot of yelling and screaming and fighting and those kinds of things, it's like your self-esteem is built on winning a battle.
Right.
And so you have to win at everything. And so everyone is your enemy.
Right.
And everyone is someone to defeat. And that's where you end up feeling good about yourself. And it's really hard to build a team. It's really hard to be hospitable. It's hard to start any kind of a ministry biz if you're always the person that has to be the one that's right, the one that's always winning.
The way you say it's the way it must be said.
Yeah. And a lot of times with that kind of a person, you may win the battle, but you lose the war.
Right.
You lose your marriage. You lose your family. You lose your business. And maybe in the moment you think you won the argument, but people just stop talking.
Right.
That doesn't mean you won anything.
Right.
So it's accepting people as they are. It's right. trusting that God is going to work. I mean, in ministry too, you can be disappointed with church members, you can be disappointed right. with the pastor, you can be disappointed with the helpers. People are who they are,
yeah.
and they fall into the sin that they fall in. I mean, I do too. We all right. have our issues and problems. Thank God we need a Savior. We all yeah. need a Savior. So accepting people with a measure of grace rather yeah. than getting angry at them and, having to win every argument. We don't have to win every argument. In fact, over the long haul, you'll convince more people by what you do
right.
than what you say anyway. Okay. Not a lover of money.
Now, this feels a little intuitive because you're starting a ministry biz. You want to support yourself. And from a ministry standpoint, a lover of money would not be a good thing. But from a business standpoint, it
seems like it would
yeah.
be. It seems like it would
yeah,
be.
Yeah.
But my guess is that even in business, if you love more, if you love money more than the product you're selling,
right?
See, then do you care about
serving in ministry anyway?
And now you're phony. You're just trying to make a sale. And in the end, people get that, right? I mean, the businesses that really succeed are the businesses that actually believe in what they're doing,
right?
And they believe that it is good for people.
And
that
this is
a blessing
yes.
to people. And the money is something that happens when you do a good job of helping people.
Yes. But that does not motivate you.
Right.
You know, I'll tell you, some of the biggest train wrecks of business people that I have seen is people who did it because, I'm going to do that business because that business is lucrative.
Yeah. Right.
And if they did do well, they got golden handcuffs. They hated it.
Yes.
And if they, and many did not do well because everybody saw that all they were in it for was the money.
Right. And in the end, when is enough money? If money
right.
is your goal, there's no end to that.
No.
And if ministry is your goal, there's no end to that. But
right.
that's like a higher calling.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about the ministry biz is if you do a really good job of helping people, you can maybe support your family as well.
Love it. Love it.
All right, so that's it for this one. One more session, and we'll continue these qualifications as we find them in 1 Timothy 3.